Welcome to another episode of Pharmacy Focus, a podcast by Pharmacy Times. I'm Luke Halpern, an associate editor with Pharmacy Times. Today, we'll be continuing our discussion with pharmacists Derek Webb and Dennis Williams. In the last episode, they discussed insights from the FIP World Congress of Pharmacy and Pharmaceutical Sciences in Copenhagen, which took place in September 2025. They'll be discussing how pharmacists can translate the global learnings from FIP into practical, everyday strategies for over-the-counter allergy care and community pharmacy. Webb and Williams will explore how effective questioning, lifestyle cues, and real-world factors, such as work demands, school needs, or prior medication experiences, can shape confident, individualized recommendations. They will also emphasize how pharmacists can clearly and credibly explain the concept of non-drowsy antihistamines by translating pharmacology into plain language for everyday patients. It's great to be back with Derek and Dennis to continue this conversation. We last spoke about the global learnings that they gathered from FIP Congress in Copenhagen, Denmark. And now we're going to take some more time to dive a little bit deeper into how they could really apply these learnings into everyday pharmacy care, especially when it comes to the allergy aisle. Patients are often, that's one of the main conditions that patients are often presenting to the pharmacy, dealing with, trying to find a new way to manage it. And Derek and Dennis are experts in their field, and they're the perfect candidates to try to decipher some of the things that they often hear, the misconceptions, and really explain how pharmacists should go about treating these patients who are presenting with allergic conditions and really making their workflows work for the patient and improve outcomes. And like I was saying, pharmacists are often hearing things from patients, such as questions, such as what's the best thing for my allergies? And they may come to things they looked up online, things they heard from a friend, proven treatments that may or may not be effective. And they're looking for clarity from their trusted healthcare professional. They're a close front-facing professional, a pharmacist. So you get the question, what's the best thing for my allergies? How do you respond to that? A kind of open-ended, very vague question. While keeping the conversation focused and clinical, and most importantly, patient-centered rather than product-driven. And we could start with Derek for this one, and then Dennis could follow up.
Sure, I'm going to give the wise old saying, it just depends. While conversing with customers, it's truly vital to keep the conversation patient-centric. We don't want to promote one brand or another specifically, unless there's a reason to promote that brand. And so I usually begin with the same set of kind of generalized open-ended questions. What symptoms are bothering you today, right? Is it sneezing, itching eyes, congestion, drainage? And are these symptoms seasonal or is it year round? Then I think it's also prudent to say, well, how long has this been going on? Has this been a 3-year, set of symptoms? Is it 2 weeks? Because it could be something besides allergies, right? And that's our job to figure out and pinpoint what that may be. And then one of the most important questions you can ask, and this is where it does become product-centered, is have you tried anything before? And if you have, did it work? Did it not work? Why did it not work? Why did it work? And then, of course, are there any other medical conditions or medications that we need to be aware of while we're formulating that perfect recommendation for the patient? Once you have all those things answered and kind of packaged in that neat little package, it's pretty easy as a pharmacist then to make an informed recommendation, which is, like I said, that's where it becomes very product-centric as opposed to patient-centric.
Well, I think this is a question that most every pharmacist will say they heard at some point in time, and it's where the conversation starts. And so, as Derek said, I think that it's a place where, as we mentioned in part one, a pharmacist benefits from their communication skills and being able to gather information about the types of symptoms, and so that you don't sort of get caught in that trap, figure out what the patient's past experience has been, what they liked, what they didn't like, what is it they're actually looking for. And When it comes to self-care, including allergies, the patient's a wonderful source of information.
Definitely agree there. And I was wondering, since we're on this topic, do either of you have your own preferences of one product versus another? And what are the clinical reasons behind such a recommendation or a preference? And do you think there are any clinical differentiators between the antihistamine OTC products that are available?
Well, you know, I will say first and foremost, I think any pharmacist has a specific preference of product. It's difficult not to pick a product that you prefer for particular situations. You know, for me, in the community setting for so many years, I think a lot of it is anecdotal. You know, what do I hear from the patients in my region? You know, it's possible that a particular allergy medication could work better in one region than another, right? There's so many different factors that play into it. As far as which ones I prefer, if you're asking for a specific product, I prefer fexofenadine, Allegra, just because it has minimal impact on cognitive function. It has the least penetration into the blood-brain barrier. Therefore, it's the least likely to cause drowsiness. If you're doing a job that requires you to be alert and awake, that's always my go-to. Having said that, there are other circumstances where we may recommend something different. And I am looking forward to hearing what Dennis has to say.
Well, this is the area I think it's really important to take cues from the patient, because where they might have gotten their information from. And as Derek said, a lot of advice that patients get are based on anecdotal experiences. Then you may find out their grandparents or their aunt mentioned a therapy to them. And it's a good jumping off point to having a conversation about the advances that have been made and products, and both in terms of what we know about treating specific symptoms and what we know about things that are best tolerated. It also goes back to something that we talked about a little bit earlier, which is pharmacists' underlying knowledge base in terms of understanding how the medicines work, where they get to, and what that might predict in terms of side effects. And then finally, I think every clinician needs to rely on their own experiences in terms of what if patients came back to them and told them worked well for them.
Yeah. I absolutely agree, especially when it comes to experience. I think going off of a patient's experience and a pharmacist's experience, based on what they know, especially building a patient-centered relationship, you get to know the patient and you know what might be best for them in their circumstances. So Dennis, you have decades of educational experience. You have a lot to convey when it comes to your standpoint as an educator and what you're teaching potential future pharmacists about how they could best treat their patients. From your educational standpoint, what have you been teaching students about effective questioning, and how pharmacists can potentially move beyond the questions of what symptoms do you have to truly understand a patient's lifestyle and priorities?
Well, Derek mentioned before starting with open-ended questions, and I think that's a time-proven method. When we're talking to patients, when we're gathering information, start with open-ended questions, allow the patient to give you as much information they can, and then kind of drill down with closed-ended questions where they say yes or no. We talked about how their previous experience has been important, and finding out what their expectations are. And I think this is a place, yeah, kind of depends on what you know about your patients and customers to begin with. Maybe you know something about them, their occupation, their families, and the things that are important to them that could be impacted by medications that you might recommend.
Yeah, that's actually a perfect segue to this next question for Derek, because it really is a super important aspect of allergy prescribing. There's so many different aspects that could influence how these drugs interact with the patient, how they go about their day-to-day lives, and what they're experiencing, and how comfortable are they on this medication. There's so many different potential pitfalls and benefits, concerns to consider. So, Derek, when you are shaping your recommendation, when you're talking to a patient, giving them counseling on a potential prescription medication for allergy, what real-world factors or lifestyle cues are you listening for to shape that? Are you, for example, considering, like Dennis mentioned, occupation, family, or perhaps their daily schedule, their prior experience with allergy meds? What kind of influences your approach there?
In a perfect world, as Dennis said, we as community pharmacists would know every patient and know what they do for a career and their sleep schedule. But in the real world, that doesn't always happen. So after I get my first sort of set of initial symptom and desired product questions in play, I usually integrate into my conversation questions about profession or work schedules. If a person is a cross-country truck driver, that's going to affect, they need to be alert and awake all the time while they're driving. So that's going to affect the choice we make as a pharmacist or the product that we recommend. The same goes for a person who perhaps works an overnight schedule at a hospital or some other facility that maybe has a third shift. It's incredibly important for us to know those things so that we can shape that decision on what we recommend. We're certainly not going to recommend a product that's drowsy to a person to take at bedtime or a normal bedtime per se if they're working the overnight shift. So yeah, all of those things really are just vital to us making the best case recommendation. Even so, we may recommend a product for a person and say, well, take it at the opposite of the normal time since you're going to be sleeping during the day, or vice versa. So all of those factors truly do play into a perfect recommendation for a patient, schedule, and even the experience, like I said before, with different drugs. There may be a person who takes Claritin or Loratadine and it causes them to be drowsy. It's advertised as a non-drowsy product, but as Dennis and I both know, depending on the dosage, it can cause some drowsiness. So yeah, all of those things are just really important for us as clinicians to be able to sort of hone in and formulate into that nice little neat package I talked about of a recommendation for self-care.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely agree there. And kind of breaking off that idea of honing in and really packaging your counseling in an effective manner that a patient can consume, I'm going to move to Dennis for this question. Based off like I said, decades of experience as a faculty member at UNC, how you've been explaining this probably for years. How can pharmacists adequately explain the idea of non-drowsy in a simple, incredible way that builds patient trust, especially when patients are comparing other options on the shelf with a specific product?
I think it's a bit of an art. This is where pharmacists need to flip the switch a little bit. When we talk to our colleagues who are other clinicians, there's a standard language that gets used there, but patients don't benefit from that too greatly, and it can be overwhelming. And so I think exploring what sleepiness, drowsiness means to the patient themselves, or ask them about a time that they felt sleepy or drowsy, and use that as a way to kind of explain the difference, and also to let them know that drowsiness, probably does mean different things to different people, and I think they'll walk away with being reassured by knowing that what you're trying to do is find the thing that is going to work best for them.
100%. I definitely agree. And this is just an example. Derek, you kind of brought this up, so I'm going to open it up to either of you, whoever would like to tackle this. It's kind of a multi-pronged example. So let's say you have a patient that comes in and they're asking for counseling on what specific allergy drug to take. They might be a truck driver who can't risk drowsiness, like Derek mentioned, or a child who needs to stay focused at school. How do you tailor that over-the-counter allergy counseling for these times when alertness is critical? I don't know if either of you, it's kind of a quick example. One of you could probably tackle both, or you could separate however you want.
And I'll jump in. I think two very different examples. You know, for a truck driver, there are certain products that are at the right dosage would be effective. So most of your antihistamines that are purport to be non-drowsy, if they're taken at the right dose, which would probably be okay for a truck driver. You're going to want to make sure they're staying away from those multi-symptom products that perhaps have daytime, nighttime, and take the wrong one while they're driving. But again, you know, as I said earlier, you know, even people who take loratadine, if they take too much or a dosage that's not quote unquote normal, that one can cause drowsiness. So it's really incredibly important that you kind of hone in and deep dive with a person that comes in that says they're driving long distances. And to parlay off of that into a person coming in and asking about a child, perhaps it's going to be drowsy at school. You would not believe, and this is going to make Dennis cringe with all of his experience, but you would not believe how often I have parents come into the store and say, "Hey, I'm going to grab some Benadryl for my child for their allergies during the day at school." And as clinicians, we know that Benadryl is not the best choice for a child going to school with their allergies. Benadryl has its place in therapy. It's great for allergic reactions when you have a bug bite or something. But for a child that's going to be sitting in school all day, it's either going to make them drowsy, groggy, or it's going to make them super hyper. So there are better choices out there. And that's where it is just incredibly important as a pharmacist to make sure that you're listening to what the person is saying and trying to formulate the right product. So for a child that's going to be sitting in school all day, generally speaking, it's going to be one of two or three products, but Benadryl would not be one of them I would choose.
Well, we heard some science at the conference that we attended, and I'd have to say it's not necessarily new information, but it was good to refresh my memory about it. And one of the things that you mentioned was you mentioned the word alertness, and the other thing to think about is cognition. And again, it's not really the kind of thing that we can dig down and explore with patients, but there are subtle ways, you know, to explain to a patient or to a parent about, you know, how drowsiness or sleepiness is a bit different than alertness, and yeah, that
pharmacology is different to translate to patients.
Absolutely. And so again, we hold that knowledge within ourselves, but if we're able to convey that to a patient. And again, there are differences between products on very objective parameters that look specifically at, you know, things like response time, alertness, cognition, memory, recall, that I think we build into our recommendations depending on what the patient's asking us.
Yeah, absolutely agree there. So Dennis, staying with you, in your experience, what are some pitfalls that you may have seen new pharmacists make, as you are definitely around a lot of new pharmacists and burgeoning pharmacists? Any pitfalls or mistakes you've seen these new pharmacists make when counseling on OTC allergy medications? And how can they avoid some of these pitfalls, for example, sounding overly promotional?
Yeah, excellent. Excellent question. And so I would say two things. The first is not falling into that trap of not finding out what the patient's previous experience has been, because they may tell you something that you don't think is the best choice, but hearing it, you're able to sort of modify your explanation about why there might be something better. The second big thing, I think, is that especially a new, very energetic pharmacist wants to demonstrate to the patient their knowledge. But a lot of times, all of that's not what the patient needs. And, you know, there's a very old saying now that patients don't care how much you know, they, you know, until they know how much you care. And that's kind of that art of being able to use your knowledge in a way that's most beneficial to the patient. And in terms of being promotional, I think that, you know, I think there are subtle ways to push patients, especially patients that have, you know, gotten a lot of information about things like diphenhydramine or Benadryl, which is very commonly recommended by, you know, family members and things like that, and that probably, you know, carry some precautions along with them. And so I think we can gently move into the new era of agents that, you know, that we've benefited from research and science in terms of being safer and better tolerated.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of a big theme of this conversation that we've been having is pharmacists are trying to learn and optimize their counseling as best as they possibly can to really personalize their experience, listen to the patient, and provide the best advice that they possibly can based on their education, research, their own past experiences with other patients, any factor like that. So this final question to wrap up our talk today is kind of a biggie. So you guys, it's posed to both of you. You guys can just tackle it and bounce off each other however you may feel fit. Pharmacists are always trying to be more efficient, like I said. How can they use quick, efficient questioning to effectively deliver personalized OTC allergy recommendations during these always busy workflows and getting busier? And why does that individualized counseling approach remain critical to the pharmacist's role in everyday self-care?
Well, I think I'll start off by saying that I would caution pharmacists. I know it's busy. I know it's hectic. I know things are tough at times depending on where you're working. But I would caution pharmacists to not compromise the integrity of a quality solution for the speed of just trying to get off the floor and back to work. Be careful because you want to ask meaningful questions that can create a meaningful decision or recommendation for this patient. So I just want to caution pharmacists, don't be so quick with your job that you forget to ask meaningful questions. But I would also say that this is a scenario where knowing your patients matters. You can cut out some of the small talk. If you know your patients and you know what they're already going through, what they're dealing with, ask targeted questions, pretty much just, you know, what's bothering you today? What are we trying to treat? And then perhaps, what have you tried before? And if you know your patients well enough, that's about all you're going to have to ask before you can kind of get a quick decision made for their particular scenario. But again, you don't want to compromise the quality of your service just to rush through something haphazardly.
Absolutely.
And I think depending on the, you know, time of year that our colleagues are viewing this, I mean, currently would be in the middle of cold and flu season. We'll rapidly move into allergy season, and allergies are common. They're going to be among the most common questions that pharmacists get about self-care. And patients have heightened expectations about getting good advice from a pharmacist in the retail setting, and things can grow out of that, you know, that with a good experience in the area of allergies, patients are going to return and ask about other areas where they might be looking for self-care recommendations.
Yeah, of course. That's a great way to really tie this up. Thank you so much, Derek and Dennis, for all of these insightful responses. That was a great way to really put a bow on things and end our discussion. I really appreciate your time, and all of these insights have been really thoughtful and great to hear from your global journey to Denmark all the way to back here in the United States and translating these thoughts and these insights into everyday practice. So thank you both for being here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to part two of our conversation with Derek Webb and Dennis Williams. Be sure to tune into the next episode of Pharmacy Focus, coming soon. You can find more exclusive insights on pharmacytimes.com and our social media platforms. See you next time.